time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each of soul to keep.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And tonight, I am going to be talking a little bit more about thyroid and accepting your questions. And then we're going to go into iodine deficiency. You've probably heard that you need iodine for thyroid, and that's why we have iodized salt and different supplements and things like that. So I'm going to go into that and also the plot to destroy the iodine that has been foisted upon us. And, you know, it can get a little bit scary on some of these things, so if you tend to be really squeamish about that and about conspiracy theories and things, then you might want to kind of tune out in that particular portion, but listen to this portion at least. And if you have any questions, please do call in. And my cookies are deactivated for some reason on my computer at the moment, so I won't be able to do the BBS fast chat. However, you may certainly call in on the lines, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you. And I can give you a little bit of information about whatever condition that you might have, but you have to understand that when I'm answering questions on the radio, you cannot take that as medical advice. So let me just state that to begin with. And let's give you the call-in numbers now, in case you don't know them. The USA line is 877-876-5227. And again, that's 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322. And again, that's 888-810-8322. And the direct line is 530-876-3222. Direct again, 530-876-3222. Okay, let's get on to some interesting stuff. If you were listening to last week's program, then you know that I went on at length about thyroid. And the reason I'm harping on thyroid and thought that it warranted a second show is because at least 80% of the American public, for sure, and probably any other industrialized nation, has been found to have a hypothyroid deficiency that is not so obvious. And let me just go over a little bit of what I talked about last week with the thyroid to kind of clarify that. You can go in and get a thyroid test done, and it will show that you're perfectly normal and you can still be hypothyroid. And the normal thyroid test is going to be a TSH, or a thyroid stimulating hormone. And if it's high, it tells you that you're hypothyroid. If it's low, it tells you that you're hyper. If you have T3, T4 levels done, those are the two thyroid hormones that work in the body. T3 is the most active one. T4 happens down in the cells and the tissues. You get that checked, and that will be normal too. So what I'm talking about is what's called Wilson's temperature syndrome, and also known as Wilson's thyroid syndrome. But basically what it is they have found out through many, many years and several testing stages and things, that a lot of people are running subnormal on their temperature. And, you know, we consider normal temperature to be 98.6 Fahrenheit. If you're running low, and pretty much everybody I've tested lately has been, then you have a hypothyroid problem. The thyroid regulates your metabolism. So now, what does this mean to you? You're probably thinking, oh boy, this is going to be a bore. Trust me, it's not. Just keep listening. Here's what happens. If you have a subnormal temperature, your enzymes are not working correctly. So if you have a chronic fatigue, or maybe you're waking up and you don't feel rested, that type of thing, maybe the brain's working a little bit slower, you're not digesting your food correctly, you know, it just seems like, well, you know, I'm getting a little bit older, and this is probably just age. Well, it's not. It's probably just your thyroid. The problem is when you go to a conventional medical doctor, which would be an MD or a DO, unless they're aware of this particular syndrome, which they tend to have blinders on about, by the way, unless they're aware of this, they may do these thyroid tests and say, gosh, you know, there's nothing wrong with your thyroid. It must be something else. And if you keep going back to them and asking for them to check and recheck and recheck, you're going to get labeled as having chronic fatigue syndrome or something like that. Then they'll put you on a lot of drugs that are supposedly going to help, but they'll just make it worse because you haven't taken care of the first problem, which is the thyroid. Now, if you know about a naturopathic physician, what we do is we look at what the cause is, remove the obstacle to cure, and then the body heals itself. And it seems oftentimes very magical. Actually, it's not. It's very precise science. And all it involves is remembering how the body is supposed to function. So the difference between a naturopathic physician and an allopathic physician is, and allopaths are MDs, the difference between us is that they're looking at a disease-based model. We're looking at a health-based model. So when something doesn't work, we look at it and say, wow, what could make that not work? And we might come up with, 10 or 15 different things that could make that not work. Then we'll start eliminating those things, and we might end up with 3 to 5 things that are maybe appropriate and could make that not work. We try to narrow it down a little bit more. That's when we start doing, lab testing and doing the physical exam and things like that. And then we narrow it down, and we finally find what the obstacle is, and we fix it. Then you miraculously get well. And, remissions happen miraculously, and all kinds of things happen miraculously, when actually all it is just your body going, oh, thank God. And so the thyroid is something that I harp on because it's so, so important. You can't get anything in your body to work if your thyroid's not working. Now, you're probably asking yourself, okay, if this is the case, then why have I been pretty much okay for all these years that I've had these symptoms? And we'll go into the symptoms in a little bit. The reason that you've probably been okay, even with hypothyroid symptoms, is that you're just borderline. And it hasn't really affected you a whole lot. It's affected you enough to notice that, yes, there are some things happening. So then you start having organ function diseases. Maybe you go into diabetes. You go into a hypercortisol state. Your adrenals kind of fall down. All kinds of things happen. For women, we start having menopausal problems too early. For men, you lose the fire in the belly, so to speak. You go into andropause. All of these things kind of hinge on the thyroid. The thyroid is so important, you have no idea. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this, and then I'm going to go into one of the main causes for thyroid deficiency. So first, let's talk about what you would be looking for. You're looking for acne, goiter, and that's that big swelling on the neck that people in the Midwest tend to get because they don't have a lot of fresh seafood. Shouldn't be a problem now as long as they eat seafood, and particularly shellfish. You're looking at lethargy, so any kind of fatigue. You're looking at mental retardation, a particular form that's known as cretinism. So if anyone has called you a cretin or a cretin lately, that's what they're talking about. It's kind of a slowing and kind of there's actually a facial look that happens, kind of like, the enlarged forehead type thing, Cro-Magnon type stuff. But it is a form of mental retardation. Normally happens with children when their parents are iodine deficient, especially the mother, of course. There can be hormonal imbalances, miscarriages, depression, hyperthyroidism, hypothyroidism, scaly dry skin, frustration. Anybody out there frustrated? I see a sea of hands raising up. Then it can lead to sterility or infertility. So that's one of the things that happens with thyroid. Now, do you think that has anything to do with anything that's going on with you? Think about it. I'll wait. We'll just hum the Jeopardy theme here. Okay. Now let's go into what causes this. And if you didn't get the little thing I did last week on thyroid, you might want to download that from the archives when it's ready. And we did cut off about 10 minutes to the end. I'm not sure what's missing from there, but if you have any questions after you listen to it, please do go ahead and drop me a line. I do answer my emails. I don't shuffle them off to someone else. You will get a personal answer from me. And keep in mind, I can't give you medical advice unless you're my patient, but I can certainly point you in the right direction. Okay, so now the biggest problem is iodine deficiency. And if you think that that's gone because of iodized salt or because you can get any kind of food any place in the U.S. now, you would be wrong. And I'm going to go into that a little bit later, and that's going to be the scary part. But for first looks at this, let's just look at what iodine deficiency is. We need at least 15 parts per million of iodine. If you don't have more than that, then you start having all those little symptoms. Now, there's a little known thing, well, unless you've been talking to Fred Bell. Dr. Fred knows all about this stuff, and he's an amazing guy. By the way, if you're only my listener and you haven't listened to Dr. Fred Bell, please do tune into his program. He is amazing. Not only is he a genius, but he's quite knowledgeable in the medical field and everything else. He's just an amazing guy. Dr. Bell has put many things in his vitamins, and I recommend his vitamins. I sell them in my clinic to my patients. They're a really nice, complete formula. Dr. Fred can tell you about indium. Now, indium needs to be somewhere around about 180 parts per million. It's a trace mineral. You don't normally find it in the food chain, but it is beneficial to the thyroid gland, helps with weight loss, tumor reduction, and as an antidepressant. So that's another thing to consider. These two things kind of go together. So you may find that the more enlightened people now are adding iodine and indium into their vitamins. So that's just a little thing in passing. We also do homeopathic indium for people that are running into these problems. Now we'll go into this iodine thing. How are you going to know if you're iodine deficient? And I'm sure there's quite a few out there, rolling their eyeballs and going, I can't afford another lab test. And what am I going to do? I'm going to go back to this quack, and they never helped me anyway. And yeah, I feel your pain. I do understand. I hear it from my patients all the time. And then I inform them the way that MDs and DOs work and the way that naturopaths work. So I'm going to give you a simple way that you can test yourself. You know that old stuff that our parents used to put on us, or maybe not your parents, my parents did. I'm probably older than a lot of you. But it's kind of an orange thing, and you find it in the medicine cabinet, and it's called tincture of iodine, and it's about a 2% tincture. So you can still get that from the drugstores. And it's kind of an antiseptic. It kind of stinks. It smells like iodine. And if you've ever drank water that has iodine in it, it's like, ugh, yuck. And if you live in Boulder City, Nevada, you know what I'm talking about. They have a lot of iodine in their water there. So what you do is you get that little stuff, and all you need is like a little stick. You can buy it in little single-use sticks that you kind of crack and mix the stuff up and then use the swab on the end of it. Or you can get a little bottle of it. It's nice to have on hand. So you're going to swab on about a 50-cent piece or dollar coin-sized area on the inner arm or the inner thigh or on your stomach. You're going to swab that on, and it should be a bright orange. Then you're going to watch it for the next 24 hours. Now, I will also use just a regular, like, colloidal iodine or, any of the iodine supplements, and you can tell pretty quick if you need it or not. If that absorbs in 24 hours or less, you need iodine. If it takes more than 24 hours, you're probably okay. Now, you can also do an iodine test, and what they do is they load you up on an iodine supplement, usually give you about 4 pills of that, and then they check your urine. And yeah, it's going to cost you, a little bit of money to do that. It's usually, I think, somewhere around $50. Don't quote me on that. So the simplest thing is to do this little iodine test and paint yourself orange. And if you want to show it off to your friends, you do it on your upper arm and go sleeveless. Keep an eye on it. If it fades out, the quicker it fades, the more you need iodine. Now, there's different ways to get iodine. And most of the people that live on the coast and they eat a lot of fish, they're usually okay. Or even if you're, in the Midwest and you eat a lot of shrimp and lobster and crab and things like that, you're usually going to be okay. Or if you're a sushi fan, and especially if you eat the real sushi, that has the fish skin wrapped around it, or if you eat the ones that have the kelp wrapped around it. So there's a lot of ways that you can get the iodine from your food. Now, the only problem is when you're trying to get it from your food, you may not get enough. And we're going to go into that a little bit later. And there's a lot of things. There's a lot of reasons why you could not be getting enough. For one thing, our soils are depleted of minerals, and they have been since at least, I think it was about 1938 when the government did a study on soils. Now, do you think they've improved since then through better living through chemistry? Most of you are probably saying no. And I can tell you that it has not improved. In fact, the most improvement was done with natural fertilizers. And it used to be, you know, that we all had compost heaps and we all were gardening and the farmers all, you know, did everything they could that was proper, like let the field lay fallow for a year and plant revolving crops, you know, and put the nitrogen back into soil and put the compost on and, you know, do all these different things that people in the third world countries are still doing. And we, in our infinite wisdom and better living through chemistry, have decided that we have a better way. And as a result, we have the sickest population in the world. And you've probably heard me talk about it before, but we're number one in healthcare and number 100 out of a list of 100 nations in health. That's pretty bad. And certainly our diet has a lot to do with it. And a lot of it's because we're depleted of minerals. By the way, Dr. Bell sells a really nice mineral supplement also. It tastes really good. It's hard to stop drinking it. And we need those minerals, the trace minerals. Okay, so back to the whole iodine thing. You can also get the classic iodine supplement, Lugol's solution, which is potassium, iodine, and water. You can get potassium iodide, which is also known as SSKI. You can get different types of iodine supplements. I like one that's a, you know, triple base supplement. And I also like colloidal iodine. And you can get all kinds of different preparations that have different types. You know, I prefer a mixture, as I said. I like to have something that comes from the diet, so a kelp type of thing. Something that comes from more of the pharmaceutical area so that you know that you're getting enough. And, you know, something kind of in between. Now, you can get pure triiodothyronine, and I think that's what Casey was recommending years ago. So you can get it from any of the places that sell the Casey solutions. You can get, you know, prescription-grade stuff. You can buy stuff in the health food store. There's all kinds of things that you can do and different ways that you can get iodine into your system. Now, the other thing is, if you're a fan of Dr. Jonathan Wright, of which I am also, and are familiar with him, or if you live, you know, up in the Seattle area and go to his clinic, you will know that he recommends that you use about 10 drops in a glass of water of his iodine supplement. And I don't know what's actually in his supplement. I don't know if it's, you know, straight, if it's the same as anything you buy over the counter, or if he mixes it. So I would say make sure you know what's in it before you decide to do something like this. But he has people put 10 drops of his iodine supplement in water and drink that before they fly. And he said that that absolutely, you know, acts as an antiseptic and, you know, keeps the system strong while you're in flight so that you don't come down with all these terrible sicknesses that we all get from traveling. So that's another thing to consider. Now, when somebody presented me with that and asked me to give them a prescription, I said, that's very interesting. Very, very interesting. Now, why would that work? Well, primarily it works because it's going to get your thyroid functioning correctly. And believe me, 10 drops of SSKI is going to really jumpstart your thyroid. And so if it's going to do that, you're probably going to get a little bit of a fever. Or actually, you might approach normal. So as you do that, think about this. Remember I said the enzymes are really important, and the enzymes only function in a narrow range of temperature. Now, I'm talking about enzymes not that digest your food, but enzymes that make every system in your body work, that power all of the reactions of your cells. So now, if they're not working, if they're sluggish, because you don't have enough iodine in your thyroid, so the thyroid's not functioning correctly, and then you give yourself some iodine, it makes perfectly good sense, doesn't it, that your iodine change is going to change your thyroid. Now, before you all go running off and getting this, let me caution you. If you take too much iodine, it can cause kind of a relative hyperthyroidism. It can cause a goiter to grow. So, as in anything else, balance is important. You know, just because a little of something is good does not mean that more is better. In fact, more can kill you. So be careful with this, okay? I would like people to use more iodine, but I would like you all to be very common sense about it. So that's my little caution on that, and I'll probably repeat it again. I know I get to be a real nag about this kind of stuff, but it's really important. You know, I want to make sure you guys understand how to use these things for your best health. And believe me, I get to see the people that have overdone it, because they will eventually drag themselves into my clinic and ask me what happened. And it's usually not from something they've heard me say. It's usually they've decided they could treat themselves on their own. And I tell them, well, this is why you have a doctor. You know, you come in and you figure out what you did that was wrong because you didn't understand how the body was supposed to work. So that's your basic thing on iodine. So now we're looking at a normal amount of iodine solution. It's going to be somewhere between 1 and 4 drops in a glass of water once or twice a day. And it depends on what the concentration is. It depends on what type you're using and all that kind of stuff. So normally the type that I use in my clinic, I'll tell people take 1 drop once a day. A lighter one, I might tell them take 3 drops once a day. It kind of depends. It depends on how far down they are and how well the thyroid is actually working. You can also get a thing that's called iodorol, which is a pill form of Lugol solution. It's a little bit more expensive. And you're going to take about 2 to 4 pills of that per day, morning and night. And again, if you eat a lot of seafood and seaweed, you might have enough, but you don't know. So if you want to take the kelp tablets, which I also recommend to people, especially if you're a type O, type O's have a tendency to have thyroid problems, usually hypothyroid. But, you know, you have to really find out what the problem is here. Don't go off willy-nilly. And I'm cautioning you also because I have several type O patients that have been shown to have Hashimoto's thyroiditis or to have Graves' disease. So Hashimoto's is hypo and Graves' disease is hyper. Both of them can kill you if you don't get that treated. And you can listen more about that if you check my last week's little dissertation on thyroid. So use caution, okay? And if you have any questions about this, remember, you can just go ahead and email me, and I'd be happy to answer your questions. My email's info, I-N-F-O, at drvalerienmd.com. That's drvalerienmd. Stands for Naturopathic Medical Doctor.com. Or you can get to me off of my page on the BBS site here. Okay. Now let's talk about the iodine loading test. Yay! Normally, your body's going to flush out excess iodine in the urine. So remember I told you you could get this test? It's a 24-hour urine test. They're going to give you 4 iodorol tablets usually, and they're going to check your urine. You collect it for 24 hours, and then they spin it down and measure that to see how much of the iodine actually came out. Now, the USRDA is recommending 150 micrograms. That's not milligrams, okay? 150 milligrams could be devastating. So this is 150 mcgs, micrograms. Now, that's the RDA. That is not the ODA. ODA is the optimal daily requirements. So if you're a fan of life extension and, you know, Dirk and Sandy Pearson, I think they recommend more than that. I don't remember exactly how much they do recommend. So if you are deficient, you're going to be on some kind of iodine supplementation, at least until your patch test indicates that you don't have a deficiency anymore. So that's a pretty easy thing to do. And if you have any questions about it, you can always go to your doctor and, you know, have them order the urinary test for you. Now, one thing I wanted to talk about, since we're talking about sushi and seaweed and things like that, is soy kind of goes along with that. If you're a sushi fan and you're sitting there cackling to yourself and thinking that you're fine, let me explain to you the danger of soy products. And, you know, if you go to a sushi place, you're getting a lot of soy in the soy sauce, which is fermented, and you're getting a lot of salt with that also. You're probably eating the edamame, and you're probably having the miso soup. And so you're getting tons of soy in that. Now, soy products are not known for protecting you against cancer. They thought that they were based upon the Japanese eating all the soy and, you know, they have lower cancer rates. But the truth about that is that as you approach more of an American diet, which the Japanese are now doing, massive amounts of beef and all this other stuff and all the carbos and things, then you find that that health benefit goes away. So the problem with soy, and this is a big problem that really hasn't hit the public eye a whole lot yet, there's a hazardous side in that it can cause a goiter. Now, this was mainly done on infants. When was this? I think it was in the 60s or so, where they had a couple cases of infants that got goiter when they were taking the soybean formula. And soy formula was a big thing for infants that were unable to take milk. And, I think soy's been big as a formula since I was a kid. And that's been a long time. And I do not recommend soy for any reason. Now, there are some people who can take it. For instance, if you're a type O and you are a secretor, which 80% of the public is, then you can do soy without too much of a problem. It's not a direct allergen. If you're a non-secretor type O, you cannot take soy. So the way that I found whether soy was something that my body liked or not was just kind of monitoring the way I felt afterwards. It never was a satisfying protein for me. In fact, I always kind of felt a little ill at ease. So it's not one of those outright allergens where you're going to, you know, have your throat close up and all that, unless you are that allergic to it. So I'm talking about more the blood type allergen. So one of the problems with soy is that it has two compounds or active ingredients that inhibit thyroid peroxidase. And if you frequent the health food store a lot, you've probably seen the Genisoy bars and things like that. There's a lot of protein bars that use soy protein. So genistein and datazine are the two things that are the problem. So now thyroid peroxidase, TPO, is essential to the thyroid hormone synthesis. So you can imagine if you're eating something that inhibits thyroid hormone synthesis, you could have what we call a relative or reactive type of imbalance. And if you just drop soy out of your diet, it could go away and your thyroid could be all right. So you can try that. You'll see how it does. It also has things called phytates, which kind of take out essential nutrients like iodine. It kind of attracts them and attracts the iodine, takes it out of your body. So we've just told you now about how important it is to have iodine in your diet and what can happen if you don't have iodine in your diet. So you don't want to take something that's going to, like, magnetize the iodine and take it out of your body. Oh, but that's not all. There's more. Just wait. There's more. Now, there's another thing. Iodine is an essential component of thyroid hormones. And remember, thyroid regulates various enzymes and metabolic processes. So when you look at the estimated average requirement, or RDA, at 150 micrograms per day, and you look at kind of the median intake of iodine, which is about 240 to 300 micrograms, the low end would be about maybe 190 to 210, then you're looking at about the upper intake, which is just roughly over 1,000 micrograms per day. That's kind of based on the thyrotropin concentration, which varies in according to response to the varying levels of ingested iodine. And if this sounds like Greek to you, don't worry. What I'm saying is you could take too little or too much based upon what you're eating on your diet. Now, most people do not eat the same thing every day. The people who do eat exactly the same thing every day, and I'm speaking particularly to vegans right now, vegetarians, if you're eating the same thing every day and you're not getting all of your required nutrients, you're heading for a big problem. Those are the kind of people that normally end up in the hospital. So when you see a vegetarian that's upset about the bad rap that vegetarian diets get, that's why there's a bad rap, because you don't get enough of the essential nutrients, and that includes minerals, and that includes iodine. Okay, hopefully I've covered that well enough for you. maybe I ought to tell you a little bit more about the biochemical reactions that iodine is responsible for. How about protein synthesis, enzyme activity, and the major target organs being the brain, muscles, heart, pituitary, kidney? So I don't know. You think this is maybe important? So I look at all these things, and when I get to this next part, oh my God, I truly worry for our world. I really do. This stuff is so important, and it's so little known. And I'm hoping you guys are really getting this. I'm hoping that you're understanding what I'm trying to get across to you. We'll get to the scary part in a little bit. Now, I talked about insufficient intake of iodine. Now, you're going to get it from iodized table salt, from seafood, usually crustaceans. You're going to get it from a little bit from dark green leafy vegetables. And by the way, if you're pregnant or lactating, you're going to need a little bit more. Also, as you're growing, children, adolescents, anybody who is ill, just anytime you think that you have an increased metabolic requirement, that's when you're going to need a little more iodine. Let's see, what else can I tell you about? I talked about thyroid symptoms last week, so I'm not going to go back over that. Talked about the difference between T3 and T4. And one thing that I do need to tell you about is if you're taking SSKI, which is potassium iodide, in milk or in juice is the way to take it, because it is really irritating. And if you're one of these people that thinks you can drop some of this stuff on your tongue, oh, please don't do it. You will hate it. I mean, I get in a hurry and I do that occasionally, but I'm used to drinking some really foul stuff known as Chinese herbs. And there's pretty much not anything that tastes worse than that. Some of that stuff would gag a maggot, as they say. But if you try to put iodine directly on your tongue, first of all, it burns, and secondly, it tastes pretty bad. And it has kind of a really weird, kind of an irony, almost iron metallic taste. Worse than that, though. So if you're going to supplement with this, be careful how you're doing it. Okay, you do want to dilute it in water or in milk or juice. Okay, let me see if I covered all these things. Just check my notes here real quick. And, oh, one important thing. Not everybody can take iodine. So if you go out and you self-medicate yourself on this and you find within 3 days that your thyroid is feeling kind of larger and tender, 3 to 5 days you'll usually notice the toxic effects of this. If you get more exhausted, if your body feels like it's aching, oh, that could be that you have what they call an iodine crash. It could be it's too much too quick for you. There's a number of different things that it could be. You could have an allergy to the particular preparation, especially if it's a natural one. For instance, if you're allergic to iodine in seafood, you shouldn't take this. If you're allergic to iodine in the type that you get intravenously for a test, but you're not allergic to shellfish, then you're probably okay to take it. But always check with your doctor, okay? Some people are way, way sensitive. If you are sensitive when you have iodine in a multivitamin, that can occur too. So please be aware, okay? And, you know, you can be sensitive to anything at any time. You could have taken something for 20 or 30 years, and all of a sudden you become allergic to it. So that is precautionary. Okay, now's the scary part. So if you guys are the kind of people that want to cover your ears and not know what's really going on, you might want to kind of do something else for the next 10 minutes. I'm going to be talking about chemtrails and what this has to do with everything. Now, remember, this show is about iodine and the importance of iodine. So most of you probably know, and especially now after this show, you know that iodine is important for your thyroid. Did you know that when your iodine levels fall down, it increases your risk for cancer? Did you know that breast tissue uses huge amounts of iodine? And by the way, men, you have breast tissue too. It goes from the clavicles all the way down to your belly button, practically. And anybody who's out there who has smoked a lot of marijuana probably has discovered this. You get boobs. And it's called gynecomastia from smoking a lot of pot. Also, increased cortisol can make that happen. And some guys are just kind of naturally predisposed to that. Nobody knows why. So now the important thing is, if iodine is used in your other tissues, and particularly by breast tissue, and you have an iodine deficiency, and we know that the deficiency causes cancer, it'll cause cancer any place in your body, but it seems to really hit in the breast area. You women out there, if you've had breast cancer, I hope you're thinking about how much iodine you might have had in your diet during that time. And if you're not including iodine in your diet now, you might want to consider that. There's a lot of important things to check out with this. Now, how can that happen? So you could be taking iodine and still not have enough. How can that happen? It happens because iodine is a halogen. So if you look at the table of elements, it's termed as a halogen, along with bromine, chlorine, and fluorine, also known as bromide, chloride, fluoride. Now, if you swim a lot, or you're in a city where they chlorinate your water, and particularly if you drink tap water, which, by the way, don't ever do unless you know your water is totally safe, you're getting a lot of chlorine. Now, you can get chlorine filters for your showers and things like that, and, you know, you can get distillers for your water, and I highly recommend that kind of stuff, especially if you're a swimmer, because you're getting a huge dose when you're swimming. Strangely enough, you get the biggest dose of chlorine from taking a hot shower, because it gets back to the gaseous form and you're inhaling it. So you actually get more from taking a shower than you would if you were taking a bath or swimming in it. Strange, huh? Anyhow, so the chlorine can displace the iodine. And if that happens, that's one of the roots of deficiency. Okay, let's go to bromine. If you know anything about bromine, you know it is a deadly poison. It is one of the worst poisons on the planet. And by the way, ethylene dibromide is one of the most lethal toxic substances on the planet, and they use it as a gas to cause your food to ripen, particularly fruits. They'll gas your fruit, and then it ripens quicker, so it looks good, so you buy it thinking it's good. It's actually green. It hasn't matured. If you come into contact with ethylene dibromide, it will kill you very quickly, and it will probably kill the next 4 or 5 people that work on your body. And there was a big thing that happened. Gosh, this was tragic, and I can't go into it this show. It's just not enough time left. But there was a tanker accident where the tanker was empty. 2 workers were sent in to clean the tanker. It had ethylene dibromide in it. One of the guys died outright. The other one was hauled out. They called the hazmat team. You know, they were hosed off and everything. Every person that worked on them, all the way up through the hazmat people, all the way through the hospital workers, including the 2 doctors that did the autopsy, all died. And their livers turned into Swiss cheese, basically, because of ethylene dibromide. And this is what they've got in the chemtrails they're spraying all over us right now. That's one of the many nasty things. Now, one of the things I came across as I was surfing through on the internet researching things is there's a big article that Jim Phelps put out. Jim Phelps was the guy that came across, you know, how to change global weather patterns and things like this. So he's done the research. And let me give you the particular page that I thought fascinating. It's https://members.aol.com/dostar/chemtrails.html. What he's got there is a big long report about how he discovered this and now they're using it. And he's talking about the layers of air. And you know, our atmosphere has many layers, and we normally think of the 3 layers. He's talking about layers of chemicals that are in there. And he's talking about how when they create gasoline products, as they crack the hydrocarbons in order to create gasoline, all the stuff is going up into the air. And if you've ever lived around a refinery, you know the air stinks. It's a horrible, horrible smell. All that stuff goes up into our atmosphere. What they found is that there's a fluorine that's up there that cycles and has to do with, you know, layers moving up and things like that. So fluorine is up there in the air. And this is increasing global warming. It's not allowing the cool air to come down from the upper atmosphere. So there's this problem with hydrogen fluoride releases. So you've got fluorine and light hydrocarbon gas injections that are changing our atmosphere. They're also putting fluorine into some of the chemtrails, apparently. So you're probably sitting there going, what has this got to do with the price of tea in China? What it has to do with is that we have so much going on with fluorine, and it's called a fluorine synergism effects. There are things here that he has connected to predictions of Revelation's prophecies. And he's talking about the environmental and health impacts, and it's too long of a thing for me to go into here. But I would like you, please, if you're interested, to go to that that little site that I just related to you. It's pretty scary. He's talking about HARP. He's talking about the chemtrail methods. He's talking about Revelation and how this could actually be linked to stopping life on this planet. It's pretty scary stuff, and it's continuing on. So that's one thing. And he, by the way, he goes into more about what the chemtrails are doing. And this is not a show about chemtrails, so I'm not going into that. What I do want to talk about is the causal link between the fluorine and what happens in the body. So the more fluorine that you have, the less iodine you're going to have. And if you've heard me talk about how enzymes work and binding capacities in the body and things like that, you might remember this. Just think of it as a lock and a key. So if you have a lock that requires a key that's shaped like iodine, and when that key is in there, your systems work. You know, it's kind of like turning on the key in the car. It works. Everything's great. Then what's going to happen if you put a fluorine key that's similar but doesn't unlock those processes? But it's going to take up the site. It's going to get jammed into that lock. Or you're going to take a bromine molecule and do the same thing, or a chlorine molecule and do the same thing. So the iodine cannot be used. That's what's so bad about it. So I've already told you about the bromine and the fluorine that's in the atmosphere. Let's talk about fluoridated water. Did you know that it has never been proven that fluorine or fluoride, sodium fluoride, by the way, is what they're putting in your toothpaste and they're putting into the water. It has never been proven that that does anything to help your teeth. In fact, what has been proven is that sodium fluoride will cause leaching in your bones. It will actually destroy your teeth. It will actually destroy your bone mass. The tests that were done that showed that it was beneficial were done on calcium fluoride. Big difference. It's a completely different compound. So here you are with fluoridated water, and the fluorine is taking up the iodine locking points. And you're thinking you're protecting your teeth. Actually, you're destroying them, and you're destroying your bones and your kids' bones and things like that. And meanwhile, setting yourself up to get cancer. What is wrong with this picture? And if you don't believe in conspiracy theories, all I can say is this is no theory, people. You can look it up on the Internet. You can find this all yourself. And I don't know what else to tell you. You know, this is such a difficult thing to deal with because it's happening all over the world in any industrialized country. This is part of the plot, if you want to call it the plot. But basically it's causing massive illness, and it's causing it on the order of such a great magnitude that I hesitate to even guess as to how bad it is, but I know it's really bad. When you start to look at the way the body needs to work and the way the body is set up by the prime creator to work, and you start realizing all these little nefarious things that have been done to stop it from working, it becomes horrifying. Now, I don't want you to go into the fetal position and freak out, because, you know, I'm not into that. I'm not into to forcing fear upon people. I'm telling you this because you need to know. People have got to wake up. People have got to get to that point where they say no more. Now, a lot of people will not tell you these things. If you try to pin a dentist down to this, they will usually evade. And the higher up they are in the government, the more they're going to evade it. Nobody's going to say it's bad, because they will lose their jobs, and at some point they may lose their lives. But you know me, I got to get the truth out there. So the truth will set you free. So please take from this the idea that you need iodine, okay? But be careful. If you're getting enough iodine from other pathways, that's great. If you're not getting enough iodine, it can mean the difference between life and death for you. It will certainly mean the difference between a normal, sane mind and mental retardation for your children. So this is why it's so important. All right, so we've got bromide, fluoride, chloride. I touched a little bit on the terrible things of the bromide that they're doing to us. Here's another one. Did you know that bromine is in most of your soft drinks? Yeah, that's right. Put that soft drink down. This is really awful. Oh, my gosh, it's so awful. I always tell people don't drink carbonated beverages, period. I don't even care if they're health food beverages. Stay away from the carbonated stuff. I mean, there's other complex reactions that go on with carbonated beverages that have to do with leaching things out of your bones and things. Oh, it has to do with many other trace minerals and you know, the lock and key thing again. So the worst part of it, though, is having bromine in your drinks. So everything that you ingest that has bromine, fluorine, or chlorine in it, or anything that you breathe, because these are gases, these are halogenated gases, okay? So if you're around any of this kind of stuff, you're taking it in also, and sometimes it's much more devastating to inhale it. So anytime you're doing anything like that, it's vitally important for you to make sure that you're getting enough iodine by some means, and we do have to ingest it. I haven't had anybody talk about breathing iodine gas. I would guess it's probably not a good thing. The stuff tastes bad enough. I don't think I'd want to sniff it. But if you just take a couple drops a day, that could help you to be healthier by itself. So one of the things I normally do with my patients is I have them go ahead and do an iodine trial. You know, before I go and give them T3 or something like that, you know, I mean, I can test them right away to see if they need thyroid. I use the ThyroFlex machine's little reflex thing, computerized, you know, shows me right away if that's what the problem is. But I don't normally put people right on T3. Normally what I'll do is I'll have them try some iodine. And if the iodine brings the reflexes back, then that's a simple fix. And I'll usually ask them, you know, how often do you drink sodas? Are you in an area where you have chlorinated water? Do you take a lot of showers? Do you swim a lot in chlorinated water? You know, most of the other developed countries that have swim teams, like Germany and Australia, they don't even use chlorine in their water. They'll either use salt, which kills off most living organisms in a high concentration, or they'll use ionization. That's why they're doing it, because they know about these health risks. And yet in this country, we blindly go along and we let the government do all this kind of stuff. So all I'm asking from you people is to wake up. Please wake up. Please look at what's happening around you. Please find out more. And I know, BBS listeners, you're already clued into this stuff. Please pass these kinds of things on to your friends and family. If you care about them, you'll pass it on and help to wake them up. We have to take the bull by the horns when it comes to our health. And by the way, if you're not aware of it, they're trying to pass this whole Codex Alimentarius thing on us again, which will severely limit your ability to get the supplements that you need to keep yourself healthy. And if you think it's safe to go to a doctor and get this, think about the fact that the MDs and the DOs greatly outnumber the naturopaths. Think about what it costs you to go for a doctor's office visit for 15 minutes. And how instead of paying $10 for some iodine solution, that would last you for a couple months, you're now going to be paying $150 or so, and it's going to last you 1 month, if they even let you have it. This is serious stuff, folks. So, now I hate to give you this bad news. You know, I would rather have things be light and airy and wonderful. And the problem is, you know, sometimes I have to get on my little soapbox here and tell you guys what's really going on, because it is so scary and it's so important that you know. So I hope that this helps you to be happier and healthier. And remember, even when you hear this stuff that's difficult, go to that place of love within your heart. Go to that place that you really exist. And, you know, a lot of people can get beyond the hologram, can say, this is just happening in the hologram, and it doesn't have to be in my life. And when you can get to that point, and by the way, I know several people that do that, several people that are totally unaffected by any of this crap that they're trying to do to us. When you get to that point, then you would be listening to this and it wouldn't be worrying you at all. But you have to get yourself there. You know, it's not normal for someone to come along and bonk you on the head with a wand and make you that way. You have to get there yourself. In the meantime, you need to know what's going on, and you need to protect yourself. And your greatest protection is to be in touch with your highest essence. When you can make that connection, there is nothing anybody can do to you. So that's one of your most important survival mode skills. And remember that. And if you don't know how to do that, there's plenty of people around that teach these things. And I'm going to be going on the road and teaching this also in a very concise form, so that people can start to really be themselves. And, you know, as I sign off every week, I always say, be who you really are. That's what I mean. I mean, get in touch with the truth. Your true essence is beyond all of this. Your true essence is beyond this third dimension. Your true essence is the God self, or whatever you want to call it. You can call it source self, light. I don't care what you call it. It doesn't care what you call it either. It just cares that you call it and that you connect with it. And so get in touch with that. That's your protection from any of this nonsense. That's your protection from mind control. That's your protection from any manipulation. This is vitally important. And we'll talk about that more and how people can get more in touch with that. In the meantime, if you have not surfed on my website, I would appreciate it if you would. Go to www.drvalerienmd.com. That's drvalerie.com. And I have some new enlightened soul elixirs on there. And they were created with the help of the archangels. And I kind of had the idea of what to do, and they told me how much to put in and infused them with their energies in the holographic projector room. So they're pretty cool, and they last a long time. You can just put one drop in a glass and drink that. It's like a homeopathic elixir, actually. So you can get those on my product page once you get on the website. And I also have a free health newsletter that we get out about once every month or two, depending on what the news is. And it doesn't cost you a thing. You can sign up right there. And I'm going to be getting the schedule together a little bit better. I've been busy moving things. But I will have a schedule that I'll post, and I'll give you an email blast. Hopefully in June that will start, and give you the email blast of who's going to be on the show. So until then, please know that I care about you. And you got me in your corner, okay? I'm standing behind you going, yeah. In the meantime, thanks for tuning in. Be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night. Awaken, awaken, awaken the dream.
awaken, awaken, awaken.